You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
So where we are as a church today, you know, I know that, let's just shift for a moment in regards to, you know, the church of the future and what you're seeing. Some of the things that's been said about the future church is, I remember Brother Ken would always say, Ken Summerall would say, you know, we won't even recognize it in 10 years. It's going to be so different. Where do you see the church maybe 10 years from today? I mean, you've seen the church over time. I mean, it used to be, what's your, based on your experience and the rapid multiplication, not multiplication, but exponential changes that are taking place quicker than ever before, where do you see the church in 10 years?
Well, let me go back to what I would call the church. My dad always said the things of God you can describe, but you can never define.
Oh, can you say that again?
My dad said you can describe the things of God, but never define them.
Wow.
And I was talking about the kingdom. I can describe the kingdom. I can't really define it.
Right.
Because God is a mystery. Everything of God has a mysterious element.
Right.
One problem we've had as evangelicals, we lost the mystery, and we got it all simplified and marketed. And it's not that simple.
Right. Let me tell you what God meant.
Yeah.
Say, oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Right. Right. Well, it isn't simple. The church, as I understand it, is the assembly, wherever they gather, of citizens of the kingdom of God. We did a curriculum called The Covenant and the Kingdom.
Which you can get, by the way. It's available. Right,
you can get. It's a digital form now. Okay. We don't have it in print, but it's digital.
We'll connect them to it.
It can be gotten at our office.
Okay.
But the essence is this, that the covenant is the Constitution. The kingdom is the administration. God's a covenant God. His word's a covenant word. His promises are yea and amen. So he doesn't do anything contrary to his word. Right. That's the Constitution. The kingdom, he watches over his word to perform it. He administrates. So let's say I'm a kingdom person, you're a kingdom person. We're sitting here having church.
Mm-hmm. We are.
We're gathering together in his name.
Yes.
And I believe that wherever, that word wherever is important, wherever two or three are gathered.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about resolving problems, moral problems, other kind of problems. He said, you know, if you have aught against your brother or he has aught against you,
mm-hmm.
go to him personally, privately.
Right.
If he doesn't listen, take with you someone or two. And
all with the hopes of?
Yeah, resolving it.
Resolving it.
Right. And he said, if he doesn't listen to you, tell it to the church. Is he saying, stand up in front of 1,000 people and tell all that brother's problems?
No, he's not.
No. The church is the two or three that were gathered together in his name,
mm-hmm.
and he's in the midst, and we're doing his business by helping our brother.
Right, right, right.
So
It's for him.
It's for him.
Not against him.
It's his right. Yeah. And so I would say the church of the future is where two or three are gathered together in his name. And maybe it's 100, maybe it's 500.
Right.
But it's citizens of his government who've been brought together,
right.
who've been gathered together by him.
Let me read this quote. This is from Mega Schiff, you know, James Rutz's book right here. He's gathered a lot of different quotes from it. He's talking about Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries. It's three quotes put together. We'll source it to you at vfnkb.com. But I want you to hear what he said and your thoughts on this. He says, these are three things that Rick said at three different locations put together. He said, a revolution is coming to Christianity that will eclipse the Reformation and the sweeping changes that it will bring to the church. When it comes, the way that the world defines Christianity will be radically changed. What is coming will not be a change of doctrine, but a change in basic church life. When this new church emerges, she will be so different from what is now perceived to be the church that the whole world will not even recognize that there was even a connection between the two. Ultimately, home groups will become the foundation upon which the entire church will be built. Home group ministry teams will actually provide the bulk of the work in equipping the saints, including teaching and pastoring. The church has been bound by forces that have greatly inhibited her from becoming all that she was created to be. Control spirits have dominated and crushed creativity. However, even under this extreme pressure, a transformation is taking place. There's about to be a jailbreak. A great people are about to emerge from the present forms of church that have built up in ways of men, and they will risk everything to seek that which God is building. A true union of the church is not possible until forces of spiritual slavery are defeated and all people are set free to follow the Lord in their own quest. This is not a license to depart from sound doctrine or to rebel against God's established authority. However, there is about to be a clear distinction between those who have received their authority from above and those who have promoted themselves or been promoted by institutions. The future leaders of the church are now being given a vision of radical New Testament Christianity being restored. It is time to heed the call and allow the Lord to lead his people to a new wineskin that will be able to hold what is about to break out upon the earth. The new dynamic of church life will overshadow the great awakening and the social impact and transformation that it's had in cities and even whole nations. Wow, that's a lot, but that's a big statement. It's saying that a lot of things I'm hearing you say in regards to the future church.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with what he has said there. And he's not here to elaborate, but I might take it a step further.
Further than that?
Yeah. The thing, I have experience with home groups.
Okay.
My earliest memories are being in a home group. My father had.
I'm looking forward to talking to you about those too.
In 1966, I was baptized in the Spirit in 64. In 66, my associate discovered a book called The Lost Secret of the Early Church, put out by Bethel. Publishers in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it was about home groups. Mm-hmm. And so we started home groups. About half of them worked and about half of them didn't. Mm-hmm. And when you take anything on an idealistic or academic basis, a lot of times you haven't built a model for it. So it's academic until you start to apply it, and then it can be good or bad.
Right.
And so we had home groups for the next 5 years, and we had some good ones. We had some that were not so good. Then in 73, when we started another church on the Gulf Coast in Pascagoula and in the whole region, we eventually had 55 cell groups. Mm-hmm. And most of them were successful, I think. Mm-hmm. And we learned some things in the meantime. But what I don't think that home groups are the answer. I think home groups can be an expression, mm-hmm. a very good expression. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. Personal integrity, mm-hmm. and character, and integrating into some accountability community are two real important things to me. Now, that can be a home group. Mm-hmm. I do a home group, mm-hmm. once a month. Mm-hmm. But it's a certain kind of home group.
Okay.
These are people who are committed to the kingdom of God, committed to the will of God. This is not a program where, and I'm not against this.
Right.
Francis Chan, a notable pastor in West Coast, left a 4,000 member church and started home groups.
Wrote the book Crazy Love and Passion. And
it's very good. Yeah. I mean, he's exemplifying something that's happening. Mm-hmm. But what I would emphasize beyond the home group is we can have church
anywhere,
wherever we get together.
Right.
And maybe it's better not in the home group if you're dealing with persecution or, mm-hmm. you know, or you don't, it's not going to look like church.
Right. In the society, there's persecution going on, that aspect of it, or persecution actually in the home?
Well, it could be the way.
Right. True.
You know, you'd be betrayed by your own children, Jesus according said, to the New Testament.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That I go to a lunch with people, and I do a lot of church in restaurants, because we'll be talking, and the presence of God will come down on that table. The spirit of revelation will be there. We'll get direction spiritually, not I'm not giving or they're not giving, but we're hearing.
That's why that trout tasted so good at Felix's when we were eating together. I've been going back for that trout ever since. It was so good. But I felt the presence of the Lord. I really enjoyed our time together there in Mobile.
Well, I enjoyed it too. I think if you have kingdom citizens in the Holy Spirit coming together, you're going to have church.
Correct.
Wherever Jesus shows up, that's as church as it gets.
Right.
And
how
he
could
says,
you add to that?
Where two or three are gathered, I will be in their midst. If you recognize his presence, mm-hmm. and he's there, and you allow him to be involved in the conversation, you're having church.
Yes. Awesome.
It doesn't get any more church than that.
I like that, you know, because if you're not kingdom-minded and you're kind of like, I guess you could say church-minded maybe, that it can be dangerous gathering together, because it's not going to be, it's no matter where you're gathering, it's going to be not kingdom-led.
It's not going to satisfy you eventually.
Right.
You're going to be disillusioned with home groups.
So that's probably, if you look back in history, I can ask you, I don't know, that, you know, that our struggle with why didn't this work, or how it started good, but it ended up, it's like they become dissatisfied because it wasn't the kingdom they were looking for. It was something.
It was a method.
It was a method.
And it's alluring. I in no way would diminish home groups. I've had wonderful settings, but it can become a miniature Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And that militates against what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that, I don't know if you've ever heard of Wendy Alex. She's the co-founder of God Television. She wrote Journal of the Unknown Prophet, pretty popular book that went out, and she was prophetically speaking about. And I would say what happened at the restaurant is more of a cell group.
Right.
And versus like it's two people, two cells coming together as part of a body, versus that home group where we're thinking about, you know, a church is trying to just explore or whatever. But she says here in this prophetic word that she quotes, is that talking about a prophetic word from Wendy Alec, a journal to the unknown prophet. She writes on page 103 to 105. To the pastors, the elders, and the home cell leaders, the great joining and the new power for evangelism. And so it is that my shepherds and my elders shall join with other shepherds and elders across the towns, across the cities, across the nations. And as divine strategy joins with divine strategy, and as my shepherds and elders forgive one another and lay down their lives for one another, they and their congregations will commit to serve each other, and shall this great joining in the Spirit occur. And there shall be a joining of the Spirit, and it shall be a joining of the heart. It shall be a joining of finances. It shall be a joining of resources. It shall be a joining of contacts. It shall be a joining of prayer groups. It shall be a joining of congregations. And my shepherds join in one accord and pray and seek me, and my sheep and my lambs join with one another across the neighborhoods, across the city divides, across the nations, and pray and seek me, so shall the preparation for the end time outpouring for evangelism begins, and so shall my shepherds and their sheep be imbued or empowered with power from on high, and I shall mark my sheep with a divine mark that, like a Peter Piper, will attract unbelievers wherever they go, and the acceleration shall begin, and so shall this division and multiplication of cell groups greatly accelerate and be forerunners for this stadium evangelism that shall surely, in the last hours, sweep the cities and the nations of the earth. I hope that helped, because that, she's prophesying that we all start getting together, we start praying, forgiving each other, unifying, combining, that force probably combining you've been talking about, is going to empower us. So we're going to sweep through the neighborhoods and sweep through the cities, and we're going to be all over the place like a kudzu vine, I guess you would say. And the Lord showed me the stadium. If he's showing you some of the stadiums, but I've literally seen the stadiums filled with the glory of God. I've seen the people in them. I've seen stadiums filled with just men and boys, by the way. Like at the Georgia Dome, just packed full of men. And God just moving powerfully. But how to get to that point, you know, Promise Keepers got to stadiums by small groups. You know, men hanging out, living life together, honoring God, honoring each other. And next thing you know, Coach McCartney and his friend end up, we're responsible for helping fill stadiums around the nation. So what do you see in regards to that? I mean, that she's basically saying prophetically that cells, you know, this gathering of the church as a cell, you know, like me and you right now, we're coming together and we're seeking God for what's going on, that when we do that, it's going to just be this accelerator factor that's going to, it's going to fill these stadiums, versus like if we just bring a whole bunch of people to this big building over here, it's going to work. That doesn't work. Something else happens, and it's almost like the smaller gatherings produce the bigger gatherings.
Well, I agree in principle with what she says there. The the disciples pre-cross, right up until the cross, were arguing about who was the greatest. After the cross, they were crushed.
Right.
The cross had a crushing impact. That's why they were able to come together in one accord. Now, Jesus commanded them to go and wait for the promise, but there was no who's the greatest after the cross. No. They were disillusioned. The Emmaus Road disciples give you a little picture into that. They said, we thought he was the one.
Right.
And these are disciples.
Right. Talking to Jesus.
Yeah, talking to Jesus, right. Not knowing.
Right.
That's happened. And right. So, you know, they come together, and I think leading up to Pentecost, it's a wonderful two chapters where he's preaching the kingdom to them for 40 days, tells them to go, he ascends, tells them to go to Jerusalem and wait. And so they go and wait, and they're broken. They're able to become one in their need. And I just think that's such a type of what it takes.
And they're unified in one accord.
Yeah, they're in one accord. And then the
broken.
Holy Spirit. Right, they're broken. You really can't unite without being broken. And so the Holy Spirit falls, and they're intoxicated, and Peter stands. Peter would have never been allowed to preach again,
right,
in any denomination I know of, after denying that he knew Jesus.
Right.
And 50 days later, he's the main speaker at the group.
50 days later.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they all standing together in one accord, and he's preaching, and of course 3,000 people get saved. I think if you had gone pre-cross and tried to plan an evangelistic event, and there were plenty of them in the sense that Jesus was healing people,
right,
and all, but it wouldn't work. I think the worst thing to happen is for us to try to make it happen, mm-hmm, rather than allow God to do what he wants to do in us and prepare us. And I completely agree that the unity is going to be necessary.
Right.
I agree 100%.
But it's true. It's you want to be with that person. It's not because, like, okay, we got to unify. Let's get some pancakes and let's get together and... There's been some dangerous, I mean, those pancake breakfasts are dangerous. I think it's a pretty thin. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're the church. What are y'all doing? I'm just saying,
I think there are a lot of methods people try, and the fact is, until we're broken, we can't unite.
Yeah.
And whatever it takes to break us is what it will take.
I was talking to, I had to go to some minor situation, to a medical procedure, and I'm talking to the lady. You know, they give you the rundown about what meds you're on, what's going on. You know, I'm talking to her on the phone. And I finally said, wait a minute. Can y'all work on broken hearts?
Mm.
And she said, wow. She says, no. She says, wouldn't that be nice? I said, yeah, it would be. I meant, you can fix heart, you can fix lungs, you can fix legs, you can fix minds, but you can't fix a broken heart, right? And so, and she says, no. And then we begin to talk a little bit more, and then I find out that, you know, less than 30 days ago, her young son at 47 suddenly died in his sleep. And next thing you know, we're just like broken together on the phone. She's broken, I'm broken. And you know, I'm feeling the best I can, her experience, and I'm broken. She don't know how I'm broken. If you're a minister, you're broken.
Well, God has put that in your heart to say.
Right, and so here we are. And literally, we're melting together as one in our brokenness, in our inability to heal us.
Right.
And our conclusion is, but God heals broken hearts. And now that moment, the Holy Spirit came down in that moment. So when I went from our procedure, he had all these people lined up for their procedures or whatever. She says, you call me out. When you come here, you call out. So we stood there at the counter at the surgical place, and she just poured her heart out.
Mm.
You know, and God was just there.
Amen.
You know, I want to be there all the time.
Yeah, me and
you
both.
I'm so tired of religion. I'm so tired of, you know, whatever is happening out there. You know, there's people that understand brokenness.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.